turn in your Bible tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to preach a... try to preach a short message as I can. Start reading verse 1. Read through verse 6. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for you all your many blessings. I ask you, Lord, to help me this morning, tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, that you fill me with the Holy Spirit of God, Lord. I can't do this without thee. I pray, Father, that you help me to preach, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd do something, Lord, edify us, show us something, stir us up, help us, Lord, to live for thee, Lord. And we thank you for what you're going to do now. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll take my text from verse 3 and preach on the simplicity in Christ. It says, for I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's my text, sir. And I like things simple, and because I ain't too smart, don't profess to be too smart. And everything if it's simple, I can understand it. If it's complicated, it takes me a while to get it, a long, long while usually. But if it's plain and clear, you know, then I think that's what's the matter. Now, a lot of these preachers and people, you know, they make it so unclear when they're preaching and try to use the big words and lift ourselves up, you know, instead of what this book says and things like that. It messes people up. excuse me. I call this man Dr. Verboten Bookhead. He's a real educated fellow. He said this one time. It is pertinent for us to scrutinize secular history minutely and delve in the magnetic attraction of the threefold aspect in the prophetic realm in order to integrate the apocalyptic books into a perfect monomy. The insidious approach that ignominiously questions the approbation and veracity of Daniel inexorably neglects the panoramic consumption of the prophetic view for mankind. There is neither discrepancy nor incongruity in the veracity and authenticity of the transition of cataclysmic dispensations. Boy, I know everybody got a blessing out of that. That was really preached at a Southern Baptist church one time. Now, for the opposite side of that statement, here's something for some kids. And kids, you know, they don't have any guile about them. They're going to say whatever comes in their mind. And whatever comes in their mind goes out their mouth, no matter where it is, who they are, where they are, and anything else. A little boy on a wooden rocking horse with his sister said one time, if one of us would get off this horse, there'd be more room for me. And Art Linkletter, I got a book in the house, got Art Linkletter's, what he done was got a bunch of statements from all the little kids, used to be on his television program. I believe it was in the 50s when the program was on, I'm not sure. But anyway, he wrote all these down, sold a book, it's a real good little book. And the question he asked them for each one of them was, what did your parents tell you before you came on the stage? And this one little boy said, my mother told me not to tell what the neighbors said about us. And he asked this next one, now what did your parents tell before you came on the stage? And she said, my mother told me not to say. The last thing she said was to go to the toilet before I went on the stage. So all this, everybody in the country listened to this. And Art asked another little girl, said, what does your mother do? She said, she's a housewife. He said, what kind of a housewife? He said, the lazy kind. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask some questions. First of all, we're going to look at, I'm going to quote our Acts 16:30, the Philippian jailer. And I'm going to ask that same question to some different groups, Garner Ted and Herbert W. Armstrong. I'm going to ask them first, And I'm going to say, the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? This is their answer. If we overcome, grow in grace and knowledge and endure to the end, then this flesh and body, blood body, shall become a spirit body. We are saved by grace through faith, but there are conditions. It is only those who, during this Christian, spirit-begotten life, have grown in knowledge and grace, have overcome, done the works of Christ, and endured the end, shall be given immortality. Sound like a hard way to get saved, don't it? That's called British Israelism. It's called Herbert W. Armstrong dead, Garner Ted. He kicked Garner Ted out, I think, and he started his own group. But they all believe about the same thing. So what he's saying is, this is how you save. You overcome, grow in grace, you get knowledge, you do the works of Christ, which is Saturday worship, endure to the end of this life, and you'll get a spirit body and give it immortality. All works. Well, they're going to get a spirit body, I'm afraid. And it's going to be eternal, too, in hell. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, what must I do to be saved? Answer. Redemption from personal sins can only be obtained through obedience to the requirements of the Mormon Church and a life of good works. I got a compendium, F.D. Richards, and it's also in Articles of Faith. And another one says that the grace of God is a system of rules by complying with which salvation may be gained, that justification by faith alone is a pernicious doctrine, destructive doctrine. That's from the scrapbook, Volume 2, E.F. Perry, and the Articles of Faith, Talmage. That's another religion of works. Martin Stone and Alexander Campbell, Campbellites, Church of Christ. What must I do to be saved? Well, a Campbellite, first of all, is a group of that descended from the old Restoration movement. The movement had its origin in Scotland, and in the late 1700s. Its purpose was to restore what they called apostate churches. In the United States, the movement was started by Barton W. Stone and Thomas and Alexander Campbell, the father and son. Both Stone and Thomas Campbell were Presbyterian ministers. In 1832, the Stoneites and the Campbellites, it was called, merged to form one new restored church body. But then they started arguing, and then they split in three distinct churches. So if you ever seen a church up anywhere on the sign out there that says the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, that's the one right there, same thing. The Christian Churches of Christ, or the explained Church of Christ. So all three baptism is a means of salvation. And apostatizing from their movement results in loss of salvation. So answer. What must I do to be saved? Here's their answer. Acts of obedience required to be for the sinner to have salvation. Obedience. Hear the word of God. 1. Believe. 2. Confess. 3. 4. Repent. 5. Be baptized. And that comes from Foundation Facts for New Christian, Ivan Stewart. They use a verse in Mark 16, 16. If you will, turn to Mark 16, 16. And we'll just look at it. I got too many pages here. Mark 16, 16. Of course, they don't take the context. They don't take nothing. They just take every cult in the world always just grabs something, jerks it out of there, and then they'll make a doctrine out of it. It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Well, that sounds good, don't it? Well, so look like, they say you've got to be baptized. That's what it says, to be saved. But why didn't it say, "But he that believeth not and not is not baptized shall be damned"? They don't say that. And it's kind of like saying, geteth on a plane and sets down will fly to New York. Well, whether he sets down or not, he's still going to New York if he's on the plane, see. So if you get saved, you're going, whether you're baptized or not. It's got nothing to do with it. Baptism's got nothing. Baptism gets you wet. That's what it does. All right, let's go on to the next one. And this is William Branham. I don't know if you heard of him or not. He's apostolic Pentecostalism. And Acts 2:38, people, you know. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This cult started in 1914. It was from a debate over the question of the correct formula for baptism. And then it soon developed in the nature of the Godhead and whether a man was saved or not, whether he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as in Acts 2:38. And that's what it says. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So those people, that's talking about Jews there in Acts chapter 2, and they had to repent and get their sins forgiven because they were forgiven. Jesus Christ told them on the cross, said, I prayed to the Father on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." So the Lord forgave them. But the way they had to get the Holy Ghost was get baptized in Jesus' name. That's what it says. Not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. You go on down there and you get to I'm getting ahead of myself here. In other words, he says that they must, what we do, and that's the Jews of the nation, what must we do to be saved? Now, they must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because their sins were remitted at Calvary. When they were baptized, they would get the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're not Jews, and if you use that verse for salvation, you'll go to hell like a bullet because you're not trusting in the completed work of Jesus Christ. You're trusting in being baptized in Jesus' name. So that's a cult. Probably heard the joke probably about the one, you may have told it here a while back too, I don't know, but about the woman that was robbed, and she come running out of the house, the man was running off with something she had there, a pocketbook or something, and the only thing she'd think of was Acts 2:38. She started hollering, "Acts 2:38, Acts 2:38. And the guy stopped and held up his arms. It's called the police, and they came and said, how in the world did you, why did he stop? You know, when you didn't have nothing. He said, just talking to the man, he said, why did you stop with your hands raised? The lady didn't have any gun or anything. He said, well, I thought she did. She said she had an axe and a .38 pistol, so I was afraid I had to stop. I knew I'd mess that joke up. All right, like I said, we're not Jews. The Bible divides people in three groups. Give none offense. There's a Jew, Gentile, or the church. If a Jew gets saved, he gets in the church. If a Gentile gets saved, he gets in the church. That's three ways right there, three divisions of mankind. Another reason that that's not the plan of salvation for us is the gospel of grace of God wasn't given after the Apostle Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9. And then three times, he was the apostle to the Jews too, it says over there in Acts, I forget the verse, but after a while, three times he cut them off. In Acts 13:46, he said, lo, I go to the Gentiles. In Asia Minor, that's in Jerusalem. After that, no more miracles in Jerusalem. Nothing else happened in there. Those people, as a matter of fact, he went around gathering up money to take down there to help those people out. And these silly charismatics think that you can, you're still supposed to, you got the same gifts that the people, they professed to blabber in a tongue like in Acts 2. Of course, that tongue there, of course, was definite languages, every one of them is all named. In Asia Minor, in Acts 18:6, he done the same thing. And then in Acts 28:28, he done the same thing. Lo, I go to them, cut them off, and go to the Gentiles. So he went to the Gentiles from that time on. So how do you know? How do you get saved then? Well, they say, this is their answer, in order to get the Holy Ghost, here, they had to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I've talked to one, and that's exactly what he believes. The blood's applied when it goes in the water. As a matter of fact, when you come out of the water, you're supposed to be blabbering in tongues. Some kind of tongue, that's what they say. Because I argued with him I worked with him for 3 or 4 months one time. And every time we meet, he has something, and we go round and round with it. Anyway, in order to get the Holy Ghost, they had to have, back then, they had to have, in Acts 18, there was certain differences back then, because in Acts 8:17, whenever they went to, Philip went out over there to the, Samaria, they believed, and were baptized, and get the Holy Ghost. They got the Holy Ghost when some of the apostles came over there and laid hands on them. So they got the Holy Ghost by laying hands on them. They didn't get the Holy Ghost by being baptized in Jesus' name. Evidently, they was already baptized in Jesus' name because they believed and baptized, and that's exactly what they was doing before, so that's probably what they did then. They don't say how they were baptized, but that's probably what it was. If you just, assume that. And then you go to Acts 8:32, the blood was preached. Blood wasn't preached before. Blood was preached there to a Gentile slave. And that's salvation, the type of our salvation. Because we're bought with a price. We're supposed to be slaves to Jesus Christ. And he's a Gentile slave. Ethiopia, black. And he was baptized in the name of the Lord. He wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus. Why he did that? The Lord must have made him do it. It's the only thing I can tell you. Unless he may have done it before. Or, maybe he baptized him in the name of the Lord before. I don't know. But in Acts 2:38, it wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But he was baptized in the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord goes for all three. Jesus Christ is called the Lord. The Holy Ghost is called the Lord. And the Father is the Lord. And, then in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, goes to Gentiles. Apostle Peter went over there to the Gentiles, And they received the Holy Ghost without laying on hands, without anything. Matter of fact, he was probably fixing to say, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Before he could, the Holy Spirit come on him, and they started talking in tongues, talking in Hebrew. By the way, that's the heavenly language.
Amen.
That's what Jesus spoke to Apostle Paul. That's what every time it's spoken in Revelation, in the hallelujah is a Hebrew word. So all this stuff, it's just Bible perversion is what it is when people get up there and start doing stuff like that. All right. Now, the next thing, you say, now you ain't doing nothing, you ain't saying nothing about Baptists. You know, I'm sure there's some heresies in the Baptists. Well, they are. And I'm going to talk about that for just a little bit. John MacArthur, I was a graduate of Bob Jones University, and I think he's on the radio. I never heard him on the radio. I just read what he's wrote before, you know. They say they believe it's just the death of Christ that saves people. It's not the not the blood, but that's the reason it's all right to take out the blood in Colossians 1:14. I guess that's what he believes. But him and these other, of course, Charles Worley don't believe this same thing. But MacArthur, I mean, about the blood, I know Charles Worley believes the blood atonement and all that stuff, you know. And Worley believes in the King James Bible, Word of God, too, as far as I know. I never heard him say anything but that. But anyway, the one thing both of them got a problem with, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of independent fundamental premillennial doohickeys, you know, around everywhere, you know, believe the same thing. And that's lordship salvation. And I believe that's a heresy. So you say, what must I do to be saved? Well, MacArthur says, repent. That's being sorry for all the sins you can think of, you know. And then pray and make Jesus your Lord. Say Jesus is Lord, you know. However, we don't know for sure if you're really saved unless we see something in your life, you know. And then we have to see, you know, if you're in church every 3 times a week, you know. Then we have to see whether you're giving a 10% of everything plus an offering, you know. What you got to do is believe everything we do or believe everything we say, see. I got some rules for independent fundamental Baptist preachers. A legalist. That's anybody that has one more conviction than I have. A liberal. That's anybody that has one less conviction than what I got. An unpardonable sin. That's disagree with me. Sin and the death. You just crossed me. A heretic. That's anybody that believes something I don't believe. And a cultist. Anybody that don't follow the man I follow, see. And lost. That's anybody I'm mad at. Out of God's will. Anybody that doesn't do what I tell them to do. Charity. That's what people need to have more toward me. Not qualified to preach. Anybody that's ever been divorced, no matter what the circumstances. Qualified to preach. Anyone who lies, cheats, steals, gossips, commits adultery, destroys ministries, spreads hatreds, intimidates, is proud, snobbish, merciless, or vindictive, as long as they've never been divorced. That's Sam Gill. Come out for that. So that's good. All right, it's about this lordship salvation heresy. He said, in Acts 16:30, and 31, he says, and brought them out and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. He didn't tell them you had to really believe. You had to live right. You had to go to church. You didn't have to give. He didn't say none of that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, I believe in salvation by grace through faith For by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what Brother Dale preached this morning. I couldn't change my message. I tried to. I couldn't change it. Anyway, Genesis, I believe salvation, like I said, by grace through faith. And I believe belief means exactly what it means in this book right here in the English language. In Genesis 15:5, it says, and he brought them out, he brought them forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. This is God talking to Abraham. And it says, Abraham said, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's the top of our salvation right there. That's the way we're saved. Romans 4:2 in the New Testament says, for if Abraham were justified by works, that's doing anything, works is anything, you know, that other than faith. Talking about justification. Just as if you never sinned. In other words, we're completely clear. When a person gets saved, he's sinless. His flesh might sin, but he's sinless inside. He sins. He's sinless. Says, for what saith the Scripture? Romans 4:2. I don't know if I give him the reference or not, but it says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's what we need, counted unto for righteousness when you believe that. But to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you're working, it's not grace, see? Every one of those people I just got through talking about is working, see? That's what they're doing. But to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I mean, you know, I believe, just like it's used in the second time. It's the second place it's used. In Moses, in Exodus 4:1, and Moses answered and said, talking to the Lord, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Talking about him. He said, they will not believe me, see. I mean, it's just simple. You believe in exactly what it says. Somebody tells me they saved, I believe them. If they tell me they trust in anything other than and completely trust in the blood of Jesus Christ for their salvation, I don't believe them no more. Because that's what this book says. See, now, in this period of time we're in, So believe in the Old Testament, and it's also in the New Testament. Matthew 9:28. And when he came in the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They healed the blind. They said unto him, yea, Lord. Now, did Jesus mean commit yourself, turn from your sins? There in Mark chapter 9? No, he just said, believe what I said. Believe right there. That's what this book said. That's what this book right here is, what God's ordained for us to go. We can't, just like Bruce said about seeing visions and things like that. It's this book right here. That's what it is. That's the only truth in this world. The Holy Spirit's here. He's truth. But this book right here is the only thing we got. So we've got to have a perfect one somewhere. If it ain't there, where is it? It's got to be right here. This King James Bible. Okay, the word believe, it don't mean commit, work, be good, turn from sin. It don't mean ask Jesus in your heart. It don't mean confess, pray. Yet MacArthur, and Lordship Salvation advocates tell us that belief really means commit or some other, you know, signifying works thing. They can't stand it when you say something about cross bearing, you know, for a Christian, or really, salvation is one thing. Romans 12:1-2 is something else. I beseech you therefore, brethren, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's not salvation. That's after you're saved, you know. You ought to do that. If you don't do that, I don't mean you're not saved. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I believe this book, like I say, I believe this book's the Word of God. Translators, they were preserved. This book's preserved through those translators. Matter of fact, I can show you where it corrects. This book right here corrects the Hebrew, and it corrects the Greek, both of them. Any Greek text, the Receptus text is what this, of course, they're a bunch of Receptus texts too. See, they differ. Every one of them differ. So you just can't take, you got to take what this book, this preserved book right here says. That's the one God used. I mean, every person, every revival that's ever been, has been through this book right here. Except back in the biblical time, back in before 100 A.D., they used this book. Now what this is, let's see. What this is hyper-Calvinism. That's what that amounts to, hyper-Calvinism. It's the P in hyper-Calvinism is tulip. T-U-P-L-I-P. The P in hyper-Calvinism. Perseverance of the saints. We don't persevere for salvation. That's what they believe. They believe that you have to persevere. When they translated the word as believe, they wasn't reinventing or redefining the word, you know, like some hyper-Calvinistic theologian thinks. The Holy Spirit comes inside our body and cuts loose our flesh from this. That's the only way the Holy Spirit could stay in there. He come and go in the Old Testament. He don't now. It's different time. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." See, we don't persevere, we're preserved. So, and this is something else here that aggravates me. You see all these signs that where it says, on these charismatic churches, got Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You know where to get that? Other versions. They don't get it out of the King James Bible. They get it from other versions. The term in Romans 10:9 says, in King James says, "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It says, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. The ASV says, confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. The World English Bible says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. ASV, NIV, the American Standard Version, New International Version, the Contemporary English Version, Beck, Williams, the JW's New World Translation says the same thing. The Revised Standard Version, the New English Bible says the same thing. I know I got the books at my house. They all, every one of them, followed the Roman Catholic corrupted Alexander manuscripts, what they done. If they having to persevere to the end of their life, then 1 John 5:13 means nothing to it. "These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life." You can't go by what's written now. You have to go by whether you're going to endure to the end or not. So that's what it amounts to. You having to endure to the end in order to know whether you're saved or not. So that's a heresy. Okay. Pope Johnny Paul. The Pontiff. What must I do to be saved? Answer. Pope Innocent the Second spoke ex cathedra in 1215. "There is but one universal church of the faithful, outside of which no one can be saved." Pope Boniface the Eighth in the bull Unum Sanctum, 1302, We declare, say, define, and pronounce that it is absolutely necessary for the salvation of every human creature to be subject to the Roman Pontiff. Pope Eugene IV, in the bull Contati Domino, he went to the University of What's the Matter You? That he was. In 1441, he wrote, "No one, no matter what alms he may have given, nor ever if he were to shed the blood of his blood for Christ's sake, can be saved unless he abide in the bosom of the Catholic Church." Of course, even with that, you still have to partake of the at least five of the seven sacraments that they say you have to have. You have to have. You have to go through. All right. Don't know what they. I got a thing on my one of my signature lines on the email that it says this. And anytime I'm dealing with a Catholic or we're talking about the Catholics or something other, I usually put that at the end. You can just click up there, you know, and it'll. Yeah, I got about 50 different signature lines that I can put at the end of whatever message I'm writing. But anyway, this is what it says. No hope in the Pope, only Jesus saves. Papal bulls are full of bull. Purgatory ain't heaven, and it ain't hell, so it just ain't. The Immaculate Conception of Mary is a deception. The Assumption of Mary is a false assumption. And this is true right here. Lady Jane Grey said to a friend in 1550, talking about the Mass, she said, God made the baker and the baker made God, huh? You know, talking to him. They beheaded her in 1554. So all this beheading, you see, it's not just Muslims. And Catholics have been doing that for years and years and years. All right, so God made salvation simple. I mean, he didn't go through all that, so we had to go through this step and this step and this step. It's simple. It's as simple as drinking water. In John 4:14, it says, "For whosoever drinketh the water I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." And Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever, let him take of the water of life freely." When you get thirsty, what do? You receive some water in your mouth. That's not hard, is it? I mean, it's simple, really. It's as simple as money in the bank. You have a debt to pay. How many sins do you think you committed from the time you was born or time you come to the age of accountability until now? I mean, you just think about it. 5, 15. I mean, you think I'm 61 years old. If I counted them up, it might be in the. Even since I've been saved, I saved when I was 10 years old. So even since I've been saved, it probably come up in the millions. But since I was 10 years old, they all been washed, gone. God, when He looks down on me, He don't see my sins. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because that's what I got, His righteousness. That's the only thing I got, is His righteousness. Jesus Christ already put the money in the account to pay for it, see? All you have to do is just draw it out. And there's enough there to care for all your sins, past, present, and future. I mean, He knew I was going to be over here and how many sins I was committed 10 years from now, He knows, if I live that long. Bible says in Romans 4:4-5, "But him that worketh is a reward, not reckoning of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Salvation also simple as answering the door. Jesus said, suppose he's at the door and he's knocking right now. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man come and hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and we'll sup with him, he with me." And I'm about through. I mean, he just, you just open. Come on in, Lord. You know, I'm going to ask you some questions now. I ask all those theologians questions, you know, and those heretics questions, and I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to answer them for me. And you just think about, you know, in your own mind, you know. I'm not going to ask you to answer them, you know. But I'm just going to ask you six questions, all right, and I'll be through. And I'm going to answer for me. Are you saved? Yes, I am. How are you saved? Well, I can look back in my mind's eye, and remember, I was scared. I just got through listening to at a revival when I was 10 years old at Sunset Forest Baptist Church, and I knew I was going to hell, and that was the Holy Spirit convicting me. The person knows he's lost, the Holy Spirit's done told him that, because he ain't going to tell himself that, you know. But he knows he's lost. It's like he said this morning about, you know, find somebody that's lost, you can get them saved. Well, I knew I was lost. And I went about 3 weeks trying to get out of it, trying to hold, step back there in the back of the church, you know. There's too many people. I didn't want to walk down the front. They'll tell you all kinds of things, you know, about to keep you from going down and receiving Jesus Christ. But before I got probably 5 or 6 steps, I wasn't worried about it no more. That burden of sin is gone. I got saved. I don't think they even showed me anything in the Bible, as far as I know. And they prayed. I don't remember none of that. I just remember that I got saved right then. I knew I wasn't worried about it anymore. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. And from that time till after I was married, I went to church every day. But I didn't grow nothing. Didn't hear nothing. Didn't grow. So I got out, you know, and I was doing, you wouldn't know me from a lost man. From 63 up to 73 probably, something like that. But then I knew I was saved. I didn't know Ephesians 2:8-9, but that's what happened. For by grace you saved through faith, and that not yourself, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When were you saved? 1953, when I was 10 years old. The only reason I know that, because I asked Mother, and she looked it up in the baptismal things, records that they had, and when I got baptized. Of course, I was saved probably 3 or 4 weeks before I was baptized. I remember that. So I knew I wasn't trusting in no baptism saying. A lot of people you ask them if they're saved, they say, well, I was baptized such and such. If you asked me that, I would have said that. That's the difference. Where were you saved? Sunset Forest Baptist Church. Who saved you? Jesus Christ saved me through his shed blood. I didn't know that at that time, but he did. Oh, I knew I was lost. That's all you have to know. You're lost. And you trust Jesus Christ, what he done for you. How do you know it? Because what this book says. I didn't know it. I knew that I was saved, but the only way I could be absolutely 100% positive because I did what this book said do. That's the only way you can know. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for many blessings in life. Our lives, our help, Lord, and pray for each one of them here, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd bless them. I pray, Father, that you'd help us all, Lord, to live for thee in these last days and serve thee and do something for thee, Lord. May you coming soon. I pray it's even so come, Lord Jesus, today, tonight, right now, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for your love and mercy. Help us, Lord, to go out in this area around here and on everywhere, Lord, and see what we can do about getting some of these lost people saved. I pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord. We can't do it without thee. You guide us to the right people at the right time, Lord, where we can show them how to be saved, show them what this book says about salvation, and deal with them. Get some folks in here, Lord, that we can preach to, Lord, that needs to grow as Christians or that needs to be saved, Lord. Bring them in here, Lord, and help us. Thank you again for each person here tonight. Pray that you bless them. Pray for my work at home, Lord. I pray that you'd heal her up, Lord, and help her, Lord. Pray for all these people, Lord, we talk to, all these tracts. We put out these signs all over this county, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd bless your word. Pray it wouldn't return void, but establish that which you please. And I ask this thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.